Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. I hope that on the way in you received a yellow half-page piece of paper. If you didn't and you need one or would like one, we have a few in the back. Just slip your hand up and the ushers can get you one. Down front we have a couple, Brother Turk. I asked Brother Isaiah when I came in tonight if he got, I was just concerned about one thing when he joined, if he got his Faith Promise Missions envelope. And he did. He said he also got a cleaning schedule. So that's good. And now we got him handing out things too. All right. Well, it's always a privilege to open the Word of God and to read it. We take for granted, don't we, what we have. Called Brother Manda yesterday in Zimbabwe. I said, I've got some Bibles on the way, but I said all I could send you are English Bibles. And I said, I've got a source that I can send you English Bibles monthly. He said, you know, that's good, but he said, we've had several folks saved recently, and they're adults, and all they read is Enda Bailey. So I said, all right, find out how much they are. He said, okay. He said, I already did. They're $90,000, which translates to about $15, I guess, or so, U.S. I said, okay, we'll do what we can about getting you some Enda Bailey Bibles. So praise the Lord. Let's stand together as we're looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I want you to pick it up in verse 13 with me, and we will read through verse 20. All right, Philippians 4, verse 13. Ready? Let's begin. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. May we never take it for granted. And we've read this passage probably many, many times. And that makes us even more accountable for what we're reading. Please speak to our hearts, each one of us this evening. Help us to see what you're trying to teach us. As a missionary, as a church, as a ministry seeking to reach the lost all the way around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Pastor asked me some time back if I would address the subject of a church and a missionary connecting. A missionary and a church working together as a team. Communicating and letting needs be known and ministering to one another. So I did pray about it for a while and then told him if he thought I was up to the task, I would do it. Let me hasten to say, though, there are no perfect answers. There are in the Bible, but trying to get it from here to each one of us is sometimes difficult. So I stand before you this evening, certainly not being a spokesman, a perfect spokesman in any way, shape, or form for our missionaries. I hope I can convey to you some things maybe that are on missionaries' hearts and maybe share with you some blessings that you have been to our missionaries as well. I want us to notice that Paul in this book indicates that the mission, and we've got to keep this in mind, is that the missionary endeavor around the world is a team effort. And if you go back to chapter 1, this book mentions it many, many times. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And if you drop down to verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Now, as we go through these verses, please note he's talking in the first person and then in the second person. I and you, I and your. If you look down at verse number 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He mentions it in chapter 2. Let's notice verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in what? In labor and a fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Jump into chapter 3, verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of, what's the next word? Me. See how he's connecting the missionary and this particular church? Chapter 4, the first verse. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast, Lord, my dearly beloved. And then he beseeches Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. How about verse 3? And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other, and with other my, what's the next word? Fellow laborers. So everybody is on the team. I'm on the team, you're on the team. Brother Hines, Brother Kastner, Brother Gable, Brother George, we're on the team, we're all on the team. And we all have a responsibility. What I'd like to share with you from chapter 4 are some principles and then the practical aspect of it, if I may, tonight. And first of all, if you'll turn back there to chapter 4, verse 11, I want you to notice, and if you have a pen or a pencil, you want to take a few notes there, fill those out, and if you find a misprint, it's the secretary's fault because she didn't proofread it before she... Actually, I don't think there's any mistakes, but there might be. There'll be a mistake if you misspell the word contentment. That's what goes in that first space there. The missionary must possess contentment. Contentment. It is so often said that the key to living a joyful, abundant, and blessed life is contentment. A definition of contentment is a feeling of calm satisfaction. It is a quietness of the mind. Now watch this. Feeling satisfied even when our circumstances are undesirable. Contentment is a decision to be happy with what we have right where we are. Now the other day, I was adoring my little son, and my wife asked if I was going to put pictures up, like Brother Pierfi, of his grandson. But I was adoring my little redhead son, and he seemed so content. And I asked my wife, I said, now, is this a contented baby? What do you think? Only when he gets what he wants. Contentment is not getting what I want and then I'm satisfied. It's being satisfied whether I get it or not. And Paul said that contentment is, and that's something that I as a missionary must learn. I hope I'm learning it. I think sometimes it's a longer process than what we want. But that is one of the jobs that I have when it comes to relationship with a church or any church, is just being content. Consider with me that contentment is, first of all, in verse 11, acquired. It's acquired. I don't know how you spell it. Just try to write it in. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. I have learned. Now, it's not bought. It's not caught. It's not sought. It's not brought. It is taught. And just like a lesson needs to be learned, sometimes it takes time. It takes a lot of lessons. It takes some trials and testings and so on. But it's not something that comes in a textbook, but rather a book of tests. Contentment. It's acquired. Now, it can be acquired. Paul acquired it. You say, well, he was a great Christian. Well, if Paul needed it, we need it. If he learned it, listen, he had the same spirit. I think sometimes we make an excuse, and I do believe that Paul is the greatest Christian, but I think sometimes we make an excuse to say, well, Paul is this great Christian, and so he was head and shoulders above me. Maybe he is, but dear friend, listen, you've got more Bible than he ever had. He had the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've been hearing messages about being led in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and things like that. There really isn't any reason why we shouldn't be able to live on the same plane as the Apostle Paul. Am I right or wrong? Now, as a missionary then, see, I need to learn contentment. It can be acquired. In verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. The word abased means to be demeaned or humiliated or belittled or to have little. He goes on, he says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full on one hand. Contrast that with what? Being hungry. At the end of the verse, he says, both to abound and to suffer need. I say, second of all, contentment is a must. It is a must. Not only is it acquired, but it is a must. We must have, because as a missionary, just like Paul, there will be times where we will not have what we think we need. Let me ask you something. Do you need food? Can you be content without food? We can, according to this passage. Paul says, if I'm hungry, I can still be content. Are there some times when missionaries have special needs? It seems like nobody knows. Yes, but can they be content? The answer is yes. So I'm preaching to myself a little bit here, okay? That's all right. And consider what he says, everywhere and in all things. That means whether we're in Africa, or Chile, or Schuylkillhaven, or wherever God may call some of you to go, everywhere and in every situation, under all circumstances, contentment is a possibility. It really is. It really is. Consider with me, if you will, the 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Some of you know where I'm going here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to turn there anyway. Some of you are newer in the Lord than others, and maybe when we cite the reference, it's not quite understood, or it's not quite clicking, but if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and that's all right, there's space and time to grow and learn. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will, center your attention on verse number 23. And this is Paul, and one of the reasons Paul wrote this book was to defend his authority as an apostle. So he says in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant. Now, let's think about this. Could he be content when he was laboring abundantly? Yes or no? Yes. In stripes above measure. I think he's talking about getting beat there, whipped. Could he be content? In prison, more frequent? In deaths oft. I mean, you know, I think he was really close to death. Maybe one time did and came back. I don't know. Verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That means 39, right? Was he content? Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Now, Philippians 4, I know, is talking about towards the end of his life, and perhaps he was struggling with contentment during these times. But he says that I have learned that I can be content regardless of what situation I find myself in. And he goes right on down through in verse 25, talked about being in a shipwreck, night and day, in the deep. In verse 26, journeyings often, perils of water, perils of robbers, Perils of mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. Verse 27, weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger, thirst, fastings often, cold, nakedness. And verse 28, care of the churches. So, something that I really gleaned as I was studying this was that, Jerry, you don't have an excuse not to be content, regardless of what comes your way or what doesn't come your way. And as missionaries, that's something that we need to learn. And we will be better off if we learn that. Now go back to Philippians 4, if you will, and look at verse 13, because couched right in this passage is this verse that many times we take out of the context. But in light of this idea of Paul saying, I've learned whether I'm hungry, whether I'm abased, whether I have nothing, he says, I can be content. And then look at verse 13. Right there, what does he say? I can do all things. Now, certainly we understand that we shouldn't try to do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand the principle, but in the context here, what is this verse? What is this verse saying that Paul can do? He can be content. He can be content. And I will say, and I'll speak from the field of experience here, that, on a foreign field halfway around the world, there are times where, the old flesh likes to just creep up there and take control, and I want to get my eyes on the fact that somebody is doing or isn't doing. When my eyes need to be on Jesus Christ, and if my eyes are on Christ, and I can be content. Where was Paul when he wrote Philippians? Hey, he's in prison, wasn't he? Towards the end of his life? Yeah. Where's everybody? You read some of these passages, a lot of guys weren't around. Some had forsaken him and fled. But he had learned to be content. And that is a principle. And so verse 13, you're wondering what goes in the blank there. Contentment is achievable through Christ. It is acquired. It is a must. It is achievable. Now, one of the ways that makes it possible, one of the things that makes it possible, I don't like to use the word thing, but I'm going to do it anyway, because anyway, my homiletics teacher is dead and gone to heaven. So one of the things, sorry, Dr. Weeks, one of the ways that Paul could be content was this. Go back to chapter 1. I want you to hold your place in chapter 4, and you may have to turn a couple pages back. I want you to see this precious truth. Philippians chapter 1. Now, as you read this book, you gather that the people in Philippi were really concerned about Paul. Man, he's in prison, and he suffered. And they knew. Remember his experiences in Philippi? They knew what it was like for him to suffer. And so, man, this is horrible. This is terrible. But look at chapter 1. Look at verse 12. And this is where a missionary can learn contentment is this. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, or have happened rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest, seen and evidenced in all the palace and in all other places. Now look what he's saying. He's saying, you guys are bothered that I'm going through some abasements, through some times where I'm suffering, where I don't have. But, he says, in the midst of that, the gospel is going out. Now look at, in the palace, now look at chapter 4, and verse number 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you. Chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. Do you see what happened? Do you see who got saved as a result of him being in prison? Amen. Now let's think about this. I know we have a lot of folks that are going through some affliction. We can choose to look at that in a negative light and say the devil is bringing this on. Or we can choose to look at it in this light, that even if he is, bless God, for I have an opportunity in the hospital, at the doctor's office, with this situation to further the cause of the gospel. See, so if the devil brings on, and I'm not feeling the best, I haven't felt it, since middle of Sunday. I've not felt well. I'm not feeling the best right now. And that's not to get you to empathize or anything. I'm just saying that in the process of studying this message and things like this, you know, and Brother Herr, his answer was, well, brother, you're just getting older. Well, thank you, brother. So kind of you. But in the midst of our affliction and our sickness, okay, listen. How many of you went out last night on visitation? Let me see your hand. On the SWAT team, okay? Knocked on doors, okay? I got to give the good person test to several people. But, you know, by and large, I was with my son Derek, and I said, you know what needs to happen in this area? And sorry, Brother Hutchin, where is Brother Hutchin? He's in Florida, good. All right, get the tape for him. I was out there in that area, and I said, you know what needs to happen in this area, Derek? He says, what? I said, a bomb needs to drop. You understand what I'm saying? People have so much in this country that they really don't see a need for God. I mean, they don't. But you put them in a cancer ward next to Barry Woodring, all of a sudden they're taking tracks. I took them down there the other day to their appointment, and Linda and Barry and I, and a lady came in, and I hardly even noticed, just kind of noticed she sat down. Before I knew it, Linda was shoving a track at me and said, here, give that lady a track. Shame on me, huh? I should have been the first one to do it. And I mean, there's all sorts. I mean, Brother Pritchard, you feel right at home there. Everybody in there doesn't have any hair. And, I mean, but they are serious. You know, I don't know how many of you got to see Brother Anger point out that there was an article, program on Channel 39 last night about Zimbabwe. And I got to see that. And some of the places they were shooting, my wife and I have been right there. That border crossing there, Francistown, we've been there. And walked right on that pavement. So it was bringing back some memories and things like that. And the things that are happening in Zimbabwe. Now listen to this. The things that are happening in Zimbabwe, you know, economically are horrible. I mean, lack of food, no gasoline, no sugar, mealy pop. People are having to jump the border to try to just eat and fend for themselves. And it's quite an article. It was a pretty good article, a pretty good program last night. But listen to this. I also talked to Brother Mondla yesterday. Remember Lois? I mentioned Lois and how she died, and we were hoping that Mondla would get to preach the funeral. He did get to preach the funeral. He told me, he said, oh, they called me pastor. I don't know. That's, I'd rather be called teacher or missionary or something. But he said, pastor, he said, oh, he said, God is so good. He said, seven people got saved at the funeral. One of the ladies came the next day to church, and you got to understand, talk to Chris if you want to, that the high-density suburbs in Bulawayo just really stretch, and there's just thousands and thousands of people in these high-density suburbs. And he's now working in an area called Pumula South, which is one of about 10 or 15 suburbs over there. But one of those ladies who made a profession at the funeral came the next Sunday and brought eight people with her. He was talking to an apostolic lady. Now, these people, they meet out in the bush, and they wear white gowns and white turbans, and they sing and they clap, and they go on for some time just doing this. And he was talking to one of them, and he was trying to show her that salvation is in Jesus Christ alone, Jesus Christ alone. And she said, oh, she said, I did not know that. I thought it was in our prophet. And she started bringing her kids to Sunday school. And he said, Never Malilo, another man I've mentioned, came in from the village, and he and Mondla went over to another area on Saturday or Sunday, I forget it was. He said, oh, he said, pastor, he said, people, he said, adults, he said, men and women are trusting the Lord. Amen. Now, I understand that they are more emotional. I understand that maybe their decision may not be concrete. I understand that. But I wasn't going to discourage him, you know. Praise the Lord. Maybe some of them really are. Maybe all of them got saved. I don't know. But what I am saying is that in the midst of the tragedy and the devastation and the bulldozing of the houses and the lack of food and things like that, people are open to God. And that's one of the things that kept him on and said, hey, listen, I may be in prison, but bless God, I'll witness to the soldier that's got me here. And he got saved and somebody else in Caesar's household got saved. Praise God. So you see, we missionaries need to understand what it is to be content, to just have a calm mind about the circumstances that we're in, because God is doing something. Whether anybody else knows about it, God is doing something. And we need to learn that contentment. All right, let's go on. Philippians chapter 4. Not only should a missionary possess contentment, but a church must express care. Church must express care. And we see this here. in verses 14 through 19. I want you to back up to verse 10 because he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now I want you to notice first of all there that their care was sincere. It was sincere. It was very real. It wasn't just a once and done thing. It was something that they just really cared about him and continued to care. In fact, I never noticed this. He uses that word care in verse 10. Go back to verse 6. Be careful for nothing. I think part of their care was their burden for the missionary. And what are we going to do? And there's nothing wrong with that. But he's saying, listen, don't get overburdened about this. Pray about it. But you see, I think they had a sincere care. Second of all, their care was satisfying. So Paul, he says, you have well done. He says, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate that you have thought and sent and so on. Thirdly, the Philippians' care was shared. It was shared. They didn't just stop with their concern, but they actually took what they had and shared it with their missionary, Paul. And by the way, we know this wasn't necessarily his sending church, and there's some applications and principles that apply there too, but... In other words, God may want you, by the way, let me say hi to you from Brother Wyatt. He called today and we were chatting a little bit and he said, tell the people at Lehigh Valley hello. And I don't know if he's able to come through or not. I don't think so. But he said hello. And I told him I'd pass it on. Now, there's another missionary, not one of the ones that we sent, but one that we support. And man, there's cards out here in the rack. Pick up and jot a note to Brother Wyatt or Brother Norberg or any of those other brother, you know, any other wonderful missionaries in South Africa, you know, Brother George and so on. By the way, you're going to have another missionary coming through here in November, and Brother Kuzel, right? And he's on his way to South Africa as well. I think God's trying to do something in South Africa. I think it's a, you know, when God's calling people to go there, I think God's trying to do something. Look at verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Number four, the Philippians' care was singular. Singular. Now, that's with an S. It was singular. Now, though there was no other church doing it, this church was. And let me say this. I don't believe it is wise for a church to try to copy what other churches do. I'm going to share with you some things just now that other churches do, but then a little bit later in the message, I'm going to share some things that you do that other churches don't do. And as a church, you have to ascertain what is it that God wants us to do as a missionary, as a mission church, as a sending church, as a supporting church. Now, along the way, we have had churches that were smaller churches, and I didn't expect to walk out of there with $150, and they passed the plate and $1,000 had come in. And they're known for that. We were in church here last month, I guess it was, that is half our size. And the pastor walked up to me and gave me a check. And generally, I don't look at it, but he just stuck it out in front of me. And they gave us $1,000. And I think the month of June, there were several churches that just did that. Brother Defoe's father pastors a church, and I didn't think I'd be able to get there. I was glad I did because that offering was way over $1,000. Then he didn't give it to me. I told Brother Joel, I said, I think your dad kept that money. But he finally did send it in, amen. They've given love offerings. We have churches that give us money for birthdays and anniversary. Today in the mail, we got this card from a church up in Michigan. In fact, it happens to be the church where Brother White is tonight. Here's what it says. Dear Brother and Sister Wilhite, we were so happy to hear the safe delivery of Joshua Wilhite. The Lord has really blessed you with a beautiful family. Congratulations to all in His love. Ladies Mission Group, P.S., a gift of $100 will be deposited in August into your account. Now that church, one of the things they do is every birthday they send $25 for the kids. And of course, we try to do something special with that. We don't just... spend it. We let the kids make the decision on that. And of course, it was with that $25 that Deanna took and started horse riding lessons. And then, of course, you know, that opened up some real doors there. Well, that's what this particular church says. We had a church that gave us a shower, a baby shower, and gave us 21 packs of disposable diapers. And I mean, Joshua goes through them. We're almost out of them in 3 weeks. Not quite. There's a church out in Wisconsin, and they do not support us. But one time here a year or so ago, their daughter sent my daughter a monthly calendar like we have that comes out the first of the month, has all things up. And on every day of the month, they have a different missionary listed. In fact, it's Brother Kinesis' home church. And so about every 3 days, they'd have Brother Kinesis and then other missionaries. And maybe, you know, every third or fourth day, they'd have a missionary from their church. That's what they do. And they had our name on there. I thought, wow. We stopped to see them. They've been praying for us. I consider that as important or more important than even the finances. But that's something they do. We've had churches that have mission closets. We don't have that here necessarily. We had a church that had a food pantry. Took us into the kitchen and opened up the cabinet. I mean, there were all sorts of cereals and raisins and you name it. I mean, they had it. They had canned Coke and water and all that. That's something they do. We've had churches that use their Sunday school offerings to send to the children. We've had churches that will consider us the missionary of the month and send us an extra month's offering. At Christmas time, probably a third of our churches will send in an extra month's offering for a Christmas gift. That's something they do. We have a brother, Defoe's church, has an email prayer list. They list all their missionaries and the requests, and they collect those from their missionary prayer letters, and then they send those out by way of email to the missionaries that they support. And so that keeps us away. That's just something different that different churches do. And I just wanted to share that. Number five, the Philippians' care was seen in verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Who's keeping the records? God is. And so he says, God sees what you're doing. And please keep that in mind. And then in verses 16 and 18, the Philippians' care was sensible. He said, you have sought to meet my needs. I'll say more about that in a little bit. It was a sensible gift. We were at one church and had a missionary cupboard. And they had a lot of very, very practical items in it. And one of the items that they had in there were phone cards. I said, oh, this is nice. My wife picked out some phone cards, brought it back, got the bus, headed down the road. A couple weeks later, tried them, and the phone cards had expired. So if you ever have a missionary cupboard and you give somebody a phone card, please make sure that it's not expired. You know, but that was something very practical, very sensible they could use. And then verses 18 and 19, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice. That's what goes in there, number 7. The Philippians' care was sacrificial. With sacrifice, they really gave what they had. And I think that's where verse 19 comes in. They gave such that they now had a need. Don't look at something and say, well, I have two of these. I can give one to Brother George. Let's look at it this way. I have one of these. Let me give this to Brother George. See, that would be sacrificial. And then God would supply the need. And I think that's a promise of verse number 19 there. Now, let her see then, God must receive the credit, okay? The missionary is to learn to be content, the church learns to care, but God gets the credit in verse 20. Now, unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever, amen. Due to the sake of time, we'll not go through, but I've given you several references there, encourage you to look them up. Notice how many times there Paul talked about giving God the glory, giving God the glory, giving the glory. And if I as a missionary will learn to be content and not worry about whether I get anything or not, and you will learn to care and just be sensitive to give whatever God wants you to give or do whatever God wants you to do, hey, listen, God gets the credit. Shouldn't be a church, shouldn't be the missionary. Well, look how content I am. Nobody cares for me. No, it shouldn't be that. I'm getting the glory. Well, look what we're doing for missionaries, you know, and Lord, we're doing what other churches aren't doing, you know. Well, no, then you're getting the glory. So let's let God get the glory in this whole thing. That's what Paul wanted. That's what God wants. And that's what he needs. Now, let's go on to number 2, the practical side of it. How to share your care. Okay, let me list for you some things that the church does for missionaries here. And I'm sure I'll leave something out here. It's totally unintended. Okay, I was just listing several things here, so many things. Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, for our missionaries, you give us a good share of your faith promise, financial support. Your secretaries here take care of our monthly financial receipts. Deposit all the money comes in, the checks are taken care of. Sister Rupert does this, I think, and then she has to go to the banks and deposit, and she's generally always on time with those deposits. And of course, as our missionary family grows, that becomes even more of a need. We are on the monthly prayer bulletin on the backside. Trust that you use that. I like the highlight in the weekly bulletin of missionaries. That's something that we do that I'm not sure other churches do. Sister Rupert sends us the bulletins. And we appreciate that. As another church, this church that sent us $100, that's one of the things they do. They collect their church bulletins for about a month or 2 months or so, and then they send them to us. And we, you know, you may not even read your bulletin from last week, but I'll tell you, when you're a missionary on a foreign field, man, you memorize bulletins. You get to say, what's happening? I mean, you even read the cleaning schedule. You know, man, really, if you read the cleaning schedule, you know who's still a member and who isn't. Who's active, who's faithful, and so on. And giving reports and things like that. The announcements, things like that. We really cherish that. Tim sends out a Sunday night update. Been doing it for years. Man, we log on the internet, and of course, when Tim sends it out Sunday night, it's Monday morning our time. It's 6 hours difference now, sometimes seven. So if he does it at 10 o'clock at night, it's 5 in the morning over there. And so Monday, man, we get on. You should see the whole Wilhite tribe around that little computer screen reading that Sunday night update. We saved them. We've got hundreds of them, I guess, saved in this file. I don't know why we saved them, but we saved them. We really appreciate that. And the pictures. And when he goes around, his Sunday night update, he lists different things, and then he usually attaches a photo. We appreciate that. You know, maybe when Tiffany and Jeremy got engaged, probably a photo went out or something like that. My computer's down, by the way, now. Now, that's a need I have. If you have one computer, give it. Not if you have two. No, it's coming back. Welcome home gifts. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars that you gave to my family upon return home. We appreciate that. The missions trips, teens, and then is it going to be limited to teens, Pastor? Is this adults too, coming to Africa and Mexico City trips and things like that? But mission trips over to see us. We had more people come to visit us in our first term than the Wyatts had in 10 years. It's not to disparage their church. They've got a great church. I'm not saying they said, wow, you really had a lot of people. And it wasn't just folks from here, but we're a lot of folks from here that came. We appreciate that. The ladies groups. And I don't know, Bev, who the other five groups. You ladies that are involved in that, that I think is one of the best things that ever happened in our church as far as the area of missions. And I want to say, you know who my greatest cheerleader is? My wife. You know who her greatest cheerleader is? You ladies. I can say that. You have no idea what a blessing that is. And so when you get involved and you pray or you write a note or call or send a package or send a card or a note, that is just... I just say thanks for my family. And I know that other missionaries, and at this point I think I'm speaking for the other missionaries, how much we really, really, really value that. Pastor would make a phone call at least once a month. And I appreciate that. Oftentimes I'd get off, we'd get off after about half hour, 45 minutes. And the thing about it is, for him to catch me before I get out and going, I a lot of times might leave the house, he'd call about 9 o'clock in the morning. You know what time that was here? 2 or 3 in the morning. I don't know if his wife was kicking him to get out of bed and call me or how it worked, but I mean, he got up early. And I get off the phone and my kids say, what'd he say? And I think, man, I guess I did all the talking. But that gets down here a little bit later in the message. When it comes to communication, sometimes you wonder, well, man, I don't know what I'd say to Brother George if I call him. I don't know what I'd say to Brother Don if I call him. Just get on the phone and say, hey, this is John Rossi. I remember John called me a couple times. And I just did the rest talking. You probably don't have to say anything. They just want to talk. You know, I can just talk about Africa all night, you know, and we won't. But special projects. The missions apartment over here. Brother Spangberg makes up displays for, I think, almost all the guys doing that. I think some of you guys help out with the PowerPoint, things like that. Chris has helped out with us as far as our computer and our phone assistance and getting those boxes. I want to get one of those boxes that George has over there in Africa and Don has down there. Preaching tapes. He sent preaching tapes out. And, of course, I don't know if you knew this, but I don't know who does that. Maybe Who copies the... Rachel, do you copy the tapes? I don't know. But anyways, somebody copies the tapes, somebody sent some over, and it was while I was out in the village ministry on Sunday afternoon where one of those tapes, Rest Family was listening to, and that was the tape that God used to speak to Juliana's heart, and she got saved. See, because somebody, you know, and I'm just, and so I say, well, praise the Lord. And so I'm not sure that there's a lot of other things that we can do. I'm going to suggest a couple things down here. Now, let me give you three needs, I think, that missionaries have: spiritual, material, physical, and social, and what a quick answer is for each one of those. I think the first need, spiritual need, you say, what is the answer? What can we do for a missionary spiritual need? And I would say this: intercession. Intercession. Pray. Pray. Now, out on a table, out in the foyer, you will find some sheets on ABCs of missionary praying and some other, I think there's another couple of pieces out there that will help you in prayer. Paul said many times, in fact, Jesus said, remember when he looked at the cities and he looked at the fields and they're white in the harvest, and then he says, pray, therefore, Lord, harvest. In Romans chapter 15, Paul said, strive together with me in prayers. A couple of the shortest letters Paul wrote, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, he said, brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. And that's what he wanted, and that's what he needed. The in Ephesians chapter 6, with the weaponry and the armor there of the Christian, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Listen, missionaries need prayer. And if you don't do anything for missionary, if you don't give, you don't go, at least pray. Please, please pray. I picked up this book. I didn't pick it up. Tim mentioned it. Is this in our bookstore? Serving the Senders. Excellent, excellent book. I didn't know it was there. Tim mentioned it. Sorry, Tim, I marked in it. I'll get you to do it if you want. But listen to what this guy... Now, this guy is not a fundamental Baptist, okay? And some of us need to be doing some writing, but he does have some good things in there. One of his chapters on financial support, he suggests getting support from everywhere but where you're supposed to get at churches. But other than that, he's got some really great points. And... send out a letter and get your friends and get some aid here and there and that. But anyway, he's got a good chapter here on prayer. You mind if I read some of this? Can I read some of this? Let me read some of this, okay? Prayer is the arena of spiritual warfare. Those who enter there are in touch with a world in need. Those who enter there regularly know the scars, but also the victory of battle. Prayer is where the action is, supporting and sustaining those on the fields of the world. It is vitally, and by the way, this is written... two churches serving as senders. And so his audience is a church. And he says, it is vitally important for your cross-cultural worker to have a strong prayer support team every step of the way, from his calling to his planning, training, securing financial support, and preparing to leave, all before he even arrives on the field. All Christians are involved in spiritual warfare. Now, this paragraph is very important. Wherever they are aggressively battling the enemy, there is a greater vulnerability to his attacks. However, your cross-cultural worker often has to deal with battle tactics less familiar than those he faced back home. Where there is less Christian witness, there is greater oppression. Cultures more open to Eastern religions and animism, spirit worship, right where Brother George is, and myself, are also more aware of the evil spirit world. Territory that Satan has held for generations does not yield easily. Add to this your workers adjusting to all the unknowns of his new culture, and you already have a sizable prayer list. However, because you may not ever have been there, his prayer needs may seem so remote, so unreal. Thus, you may sense a lack of being able to make your prayer specific for him. So then he gives a prayer list here, and he lists, I'm just going to read it quickly, but we have some of these out there on the table. Adjusting to the new language, different foods, new customs, hard climate, protection, travel, health, accidents, dangerous situations, parents concerned for their children's health, schooling, friendships, housing accommodations, lack of privacy, differences in living standards, lack of accustomed conveniences, loneliness. By the way, Pastor said it's true. At about 6 months, a missionary starts to get lonely. Now, it wasn't as hard for me because I had a big family. But George and Kristen are right there about 5 months. So they're going to start now. And especially since Mom and Dad and the brother just left. I'm going to tell you, in the next month or so, they are going to need a phone call. They are going to need a letter. They're going to need that. The devil's really going to attack them, okay? They need that. And I'm not just saying that because he told me to, because he didn't tell me to. Interpersonal relationships, dealing with one's own prejudice, selfishness, depending on the faithfulness of others to meet one's financial needs, effectiveness in ministry, whatever the assignment, functioning of the tools of the ministry, lack of visible results. The plowing, planting, and watering stages can go on for years. Excuse me, for years. The people being ministered to, the need for stability, wisdom, compassion. There's so many things for which you can pray, and you must pray, you must pray, you must pray. If you don't do anything else, if you have to stop giving a faith promise, don't stop your praying. Please pray for us missionaries. We must have that. We must have that. A second need there is material and physical needs. Sometimes we have those. And let me give you an answer there. I would say investigation. Investigation. Maybe write a letter, write an email, say, do you have a need? Or come up and say, do you have a need? How can I help you in a tangible way? Well, I'm going to a conference here in a week from tonight. I fly out for a conference that starts tomorrow night. And the pastor out in California asked me, he said, we want a wish list from your family. Sent it to my email. He called up twice to make sure. And one of the families in his church even wants to buy my wife a digital camera, believe it or not. But now there's a church trying to do something and investigating how can we help, how can we minister to maybe a need that you might have. So I would say investigation, physical needs. Call up, ask them how their health is and talk about that. And maybe some of you ladies that have some expertise and some, maybe have some suggestions for us on the field as we're battling something. Investigation. And then another need here, social, and I have a slash there, morale or moral support. And the answer there is, because we have social needs, is interaction. Interaction. As you have opportunity, please interact with missionaries when they come home. Okay? Do what you can. Even if it means just coming up and shaking the hand when they get home and say, listen, I want to spend more time with you later. I know you're busy. Don't avoid a missionary. Smile. Maybe you don't know. I was thinking about this. Several of you are new since we left for the field. I took out the church phone directory and I counted up, believe it or not, I counted up 15 new families or individuals, 15 new names on the phone directory since we went to Africa. Now that's a lot. That means that there are 15 family units here. You hardly know us. Now some of you have known me longer than you want to. That's a lot. And so last night it just so happened after visitation, it just so happened, I like to use that term, that the Lord led me to Rita's. And it just so happened that in the back of the line was a couple of fellows from here that are new since we left, and we got to stand there in the line at Rita's and actually just do some fellowshipping with these fellows. And then on top of it, one of them decided to buy me something there at Rita's and my son. And I really appreciate that. But now think about this. How many people do you pray for that you really don't know? I mean, you know, we say we do, but most of you pray for me more than you do maybe Brother Castor, because Brother Castor went in 1993. And some of you, maybe you're like the Africans, you can't remember even how old you are. Or in Africa we say, how old are you? And somebody says, I'm 87. 87, they're only 18 years of age, but they say they're 80. That's because of the thing of the year. If I were to ask you, when did you start coming to Lehigh Valley? Some of you, many of you probably have come since 1993. And so you probably don't know Brother Gideon comes home on furlough. So what I'm saying is that if you don't know missionary, well, introduce yourself. I try to get out and introduce myself, say, hi, brother, I don't think I know you. Maybe I should not. I'm sorry, you know. I don't always do that like I should. But get to know the missionary. The more you get to know the missionary, the more you will pray for them. And that's important. So interaction there. All right, this week, let me give you five suggestions here for something for you to do this week, okay? And I'm not saying do all of these. I'm saying pick one of these out. That's why there's a little box there you can just check. First of all, this week I will endeavor to communicate. Communicate. Out on the table you'll find some cards. You'll find some postage affixed to some of them. Maybe send an email. And it doesn't have to be a long email. Please don't write long emails, Ann Hammond. I mean, please. A short email is fine. It's like, even if it's a response, you know, even if the Royals beat the Yankees, I mean, keep us up to date on that, you know, let us know that. A letter. Think about this. In the New Testament, what did Paul use to communicate? He used letters. I asked someone recently, I said, what can I do for your relative? And they said, you know, I think they would appreciate a good old-fashioned letter. And honestly, I had not sat down and written. I was using email all the time. I had not sat down and written just a good old-fashioned letter. It doesn't have to be long. Tim's a good one about that. Just jots a note, or sometimes he sends me a book or something like that. Pastor's done that as well. I have a pastor, supporting pastor, out in Nebraska, and their church sends their support every 3 months. And every time, without fail, Brother Lucan writes a note, "Brother Jerry, appreciate your emails. I read them to the church. Looking forward to having you with us in August," or something like that. And it's just a note from the desk of Pastor Roger Lucan, you know. And it just that communication. I was over there in South Africa, and my phone rang one day, and it was a couple of fellows from here. They were sitting in the stadium down in Philadelphia. They called me on their cell phone, and they let me listen to the national anthem. Now, that was thoughtful. I really appreciate that. I hadn't heard the national anthem. All I heard in Africa was criticism of America. And for them to think that, let's call Brother Will, that was a blessing. I appreciate it. That was a way of communicating. I appreciate that. Here's a letter we got today in the mail from some of you probably don't remember the Kiefers. They were Aaron the high priest. They were here years ago. And long story there, they're actually responsible for two churches now that support us. But she writes us a letter about every 2 or 3 months. And she writes a lot of missionaries I have. She's 75 years of age, and their health is failing. But she writes us letters. Just a good old-fashioned letter. We get that. I mean, we rip that open and read that right away. Second thing that you can do, meditate. And you might put supplicate by there as well. Meditate. Get yourself a missionary prayer letter. There's some out on the table out there. And read the latest missionary letter. Now, we post them on the walls down here, but maybe you're accustomed to just coming and leaving. Listen, make your way. You don't always have to use that door as an exit, you know. Make your way down here by the office and read some of the prayer letters down there that are posted up there, the recent emails. If you're not getting the emails, and maybe some of you aren't an email junkie like we are. I mean, I'm going into a withdrawal system here. I haven't been able to get my email for a while, but take time to read those. Meditate and supplicate. And then thirdly, there, donate. Donate some time or talents or treasure. One Christmas, we got a box from here, or maybe I forget. We had so many folks over. Somebody brought us a gift. Sister Lois Kirshner had taken, and some of these, I don't even know what you call them. It's not really, is it latch hook or the weaving, the needle, the plastic? What do you call that stuff, you know? I'm talking about. She had made these cubes that fit in this tray. And there were, of course, 6 sides to each cube. And so there were 6 different pictures that the kids could play with. But you know what that said to me? That said that meant time and a labor of love. That meant so much. And she didn't advertise that, broadcast that. I'm doing that. And I'm saying thank you. See, there's something she could do. There was a young boy here. I don't know how many of you know this, but he gave his $70 that he was saving for his bicycle to the VBS offering so we'd get the gospel to Africa. That was sacrificial. That touched my heart. Several of you have given meals, or you've loaned us a vehicle, or taken care of our children. We appreciate that. A little over a year or so ago, I guess it was, got a call from Adam, who said, "We want to fly your daughter over here, spend some time with us when Joey's born." And they footed the whole bill. And the way the Lord worked that all out with Johanna being over here and Jared getting to spend some more time with her, and the Lord just worked that out. But they filled that whole bill. They just, and I'm not saying that to pat anybody on the back. I'm just saying these are different ways that, and these are just some. And I'm sure I don't have time to honestly, you've done so much for us. I can't remember everything. But these are things that just came to my mind of different ways that you have donated some things to our family and to others. We appreciate that. And then fourthly there, let me just put down there, you can put down there, appreciate, motivate. Appreciate, motivate. Just a kind word, or a smile, or a grunt. a few weeks ago when I got back, I don't know, maybe some of you guys feel a little awkward about this. I don't, but Brother Barr gave me a hug. And Kenny, that meant so much to me when you did that. And I don't, you know, some of you guys want to just give me, Corey, if you hug me, it probably wouldn't be much of me left, but... But he did that. He said, forget the handshake, brother. How you doing? You know, and that just meant something. It was just something about that. And those Titus touch papers, something like that. So those are just different things that you can do. Then lastly, incorporate. Incorporate them into an activity or into your schedule. We got an invite from Brother Rogers the other day. He said, listen, we're going to have a family picnic. We want you to come. Now, unfortunately, I can't be there because I'm gone. But see what he's trying to do? Brother Nadosic invited me to go on this fishing trip. And unfortunately, I can't go. But you see, those are just, and then that picnic where everybody turned 40. And poor Brother Schaefer couldn't even remember his own son-in-law was turning 40. But anyway, we appreciate that. And several went out of their way to make sure that we got an invite. And they said, now we understand, we know that the baby's just born. If you can't, that's fine. That meant so much. Several of you have had us over for your homes. You want to do it. And I appreciate that. We do. And that really does show your care. But I would say to take a couple of minutes here and think, how can I do maybe more than just drop my faith promise in on Sunday? Is there a tangible way? And I recognize that different people have different burdens in the church, and maybe some people feel more of a ministry of this than others. And I'm not saying if you don't do this, you're not right with God. But maybe the Lord would stir you. Listen, out on the table, I want to encourage you this. Amy made up an updated list like this. Every family needs to have one of these, and I think you need to hang it right by your phone or on your refrigerator or something like this. Listen, it is so easy nowadays to make a phone call. You don't even have to go online and get the purple card, you know, some cheap rate of 5.4 cents or whatever, you know, worry about hookup charges and things. You don't have to worry about that. You pick up that number. I mean, both Don, I called Don the other day. Weeks ago, I called George. But, hey, a 610 number, that's not even long distance for most of you. And you get a clear connection. And I would just encourage you that. Now, don't go home right now and call George. You can go home right now and call Don. If you go home right now, you're getting George out of bed at 2 in the morning, all right? But think about that. Keep that in mind. Pick up the phone. And let me say this. If I just speak from my heart a little bit, as if I haven't been. Fellas, you men, I know you're not letter writers, but I really appreciate the phone calls I got. I really did. And I know Brother Pierfee called me once, and Don Reed called me a couple times. Don Reed was in Walmart one time, and he called me. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there in Athens. He's in Walmart. He's doing his Christmas shop. And, of course, I mentioned Pastor Tim, Steve, other ones, others called. John Rossi called. And I remember those phone calls. And it doesn't have to be long. Just pick up the phone, give them a call, say, brother, I was thinking about you. How you doing? And they'll just talk the rest of the time. Fellas, let me encourage you. I think as a man to man, if there's anything you can do, we really would value that as far as communication. We know we don't expect a letter. But if you want to jot an email, that's fine. But I think that's maybe a need that we have as a church towards our men missionaries is men doing something like that. And it might be, I don't know, other things come to mind. It might be that some of you men would get together and just pray for missionaries. So let's just, I just think that we just have a burden and be sensitive. This is going back to this leading in the Spirit of God, where maybe you just have a sensitivity to pray, and maybe call up half a dozen guys and say, can you meet me at 7 o'clock tonight or whenever? Let's get together and let's pray for mission. Some of you young bucks, Aaron and Tim and some of you guys, Bobby and so on, get together and just have it. Maybe you want to form something like that. I'm not saying you have to have an organized ladies group like that, but maybe Men for Missions or something, or a prayer time, something like that. It doesn't have to be anything that's really organized, but that is something that really from my heart to your heart would help. And especially, as I say, as George is going through probably some illness, Don is getting ready to come back here in December or so. And he's, if you've been following his email, sometimes there's ups and downs. There's always ups and downs, you know, in mission work. But I do want to say thank you for what you have done. We really appreciate it immensely. But maybe there's something you can do this week. And that's why I put, do something now. Do something the next few days here towards missions. Now, out on the table in the foyer, there's all sorts of things. There are new prayer cards out there. We have a brand new prayer card. It just came in today. And so you want to pick that up. We removed Johanna's picture and put Joshua's picture in there, you know, off with the old and on with the new. And now listen, how many people can you actually get in a picture like that? I mean, you gotta eliminate sooner or later, all right? We left her name on the back. And we have an asterisk there that says she was married, but we left off the name Spangenberg, amen? That's too long for the card. pick up one of ours. There's other prayer cards out there. We didn't have too many Brother George's, but pick those up. We've got brand new ones that Sarah Anger made up of the Gables and of the Hineses. We had recent pictures of them. Those are brand new out there. Pick something like that up. Amy made some copies of the recent prayer letters. Pick something like that up. Make sure you pick up something like this. Maybe all you wives should make sure you get something like this and take it home. All you ladies, pick up one of these. Make sure it gets at your house. And encourage your husband. Kick him in the seat of the pants. Tell him that you're not going to kiss him tonight when he goes to bed unless he's called Brother Hines or somebody like that. Something like that, you know. I want to encourage you to do that. And again, thank you so much for what you have done. We really appreciate all that you've done. I've gone longer than I wanted, but let's pray. Our Father, we are very grateful that your way of doing mission work is exciting, thrilling, and it's the right thing to do. And we're thankful for churches that don't abscond and run away from their responsibility and hand it to another organization, Father, but they see that they have a duty, an obligation to minister. And I thank you for ways that our church at large here is doing some things and all. And Lord, maybe we've said something tonight that maybe pricked somebody's heart about being involved more as an individual with a personal touch with our missionaries. We thank you, God. We thank you that the availability and accessibility around the world today is far, far better than it was many, many years ago. And we're grateful for that. Help us to take advantage of the opportunities that we have to minister to missionaries. And God, oh God, I pray that no one tonight thought that we were tooting our own horn or trying to muster any kind of sympathy for ourselves. Certainly, Father, we need to learn to be content. And I know these guys that are out on the field have been tested and tried, and we wouldn't send them to the field if that wasn't the case. But God, they're human beings, and they have needs, and these ladies have needs as well. And we want to thank you for what's being done. And yeah, Father, maybe tonight there's some 1, 2, 5, 10, 15. Maybe you touch the hearts of some young. Maybe some young people here need to be saved. Lord, they've never trusted Christ as their own Savior. And one of the reasons they're not involved in missions is because they are themselves a mission field. Oh, God, may they come to the Savior tonight before it's too late, we pray. And Lord, we pray that other young ones and maybe some older ones will be surrendered to missions. I know when I was praying for missionaries and so on and giving, wow, Lord, that's when you really began to touch my heart about missions. Maybe some are scared to do that because afraid you might call them. But, oh, God, I pray you just have your will and way in our missionary family at large around the world tonight. Encourage them, Father. We pray from the very bottom of the resources, Father, that you have, that you might minister to them spiritually, give them power as they preach, give them insight, wisdom, encouragement. Lord, we pray for them as a couple, that they'd not have the hindrances that and the problems that might come. The devil surely is out there to destroy families, and he's really out there to destroy families and missionaries on the field, God, because of the extra battles that they're facing. Father, I pray that for these couples. I pray for their children. Oh, God, put a hedge of protection about their children. And what a need there, special needs that missionary children have. God, help us to lift them up. God, do what only you can do there. Save them if they're lost and encourage them. Help them to be submissive to mom and dad and reach out and even themselves at their young age to learn a language and do what they can where they are with what they have. Now, Father, we pray for the churches and the souls over there and just various needs that they have. And, of course, many needs. Help us to be ones who will read our missionary prayer letters and emails and do what we can to seek to encourage them. Thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, that we've had tonight to share a little bit from our hearts, the hearts of these folks here. And we pray that there'll be even more of a bond, a stronger unity among our missionaries and our church family. I pray that there would be both the contentment and the care that's necessary, Father, that you might get the credit and the glory for everything that's accomplished through this effort. And we pray these things now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.